But I want to talk to us today about, first I want to ask, how many of you are going to do New Year's resolutions? Just wave at me, I'm not going to ask you what they are. All right, we're going to do a New Year's revolution, maybe. Huh? Resolutions, okay? And it's a tradition, and we know what the traditions are. We are going to the gym, and we are going to lose 10 pounds. It's the same 10 pounds we talked about last year, but hey, you know, recycling is in, you know, cut down on waste. I'm going to finally clean up the basement or all of my papers or the closet or my car. Right. I'm going to do this. And the beauty about New Year's resolutions is we can always recycle the same resolution. It's great because by January, when we go into the gym, we'll see all the other January gym rats. Hey, how you doing, man? I saw you last year. What did you make it to? February 15th. How about you? Well, I got to March 1st. Yeah, okay. So we know that it's a little tough. And how do we arrive at these resolutions? Why do we pick what we pick? Well, we can examine what we did last year. Okay, that's good. We can give ourselves a check mark or whatever. Maybe we can be hopeful with expectations. I'm going to make a resolution that for an expectation that I'm actually going to get a job and keep it. You know, there's some expectation I have. I want to be hopeful about the future. Or we can ask God in prayer. God, is what I want. Can you give me the answer? And as a matter of fact, here's what I want. Not only could you give me the answer, but could you do it for me? Really? Yeah, I want patience. I really have a problem with patience. So I'm going to stand here, and you got 30 seconds to give me patience. All right? And there's different ways that we do all of this stuff. But how about if you could have a one-on-one, sit-down, audible, face-to-face conversation with God? And you could sit there and you could ask him and talk to him about your resolutions. Would you first tell him what you want? Or how about reverse it and we first ask him what he wants for us? Wait a minute. I know how it works. I make up my prayer list and I write down what I want, and I go, hey, Lord, bless this, please. Right? Isn't that what we do? But this is going to be a little different. So what happens here is I'm going to pick up with the story, the Bible narrative of King Solomon. Now, King Solomon, son of King David, he, at this point in his life, is just getting started. Now, in his later life, he went off the rails. Too many women, too much wine, too much money. He just went off the world, but off the end. But right now, he is young. His father has passed away. He is now going to inherit this whole kingdom, which is just a bunch of tribes, a bunch of people, cities and everything. And he is now going to be the king. So I pick it up from 1 Kings chapter 3, starting with verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask me whatever you want me to give you. Now, this is not a genie in a bottle, okay? This is ask me what you want me to give you. Just like I asked you about what you would think to ask God. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he has been faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. Now remember, David had some bad spots. David had a little bit of Bathsheba, bad spot. He had a little bit of taking the heads off of people. But he had some good spots too. Sounds like us. That we have some bad spots. We look back on this year, we had some ups, we had some downs, we had some victories, we had some things where we lost it. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son, that be me, Solomon, to sit on his throne this very day. Okay. Now, Lord God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, knowing that all good and perfect gifts come from God. He was the king. He is the king because of what God did. But I am only a little child, and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. It's like herding cats. Right. Do you ever see somebody try to herd 50 cats? I don't think that would work. Did you ever think where you come from, or whether it be this city or wherever, that now you are going to have a great mass of people that are all going to be in perfect agreement with you? I can't be in perfect agreement with myself sometimes. I don't know what I want to do. Do you want this or that for lunch? Gee, I don't know. I don't know. I can't even get an agreement. Anyway, he has these great number of people, too numerous to actually number. So give your heart, a discerning heart, to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Now, this is King Solomon talking, but as believers, we are part of this great people. We are part of this great people, and not only are we part of this great people, but in our own self, we are a great people person. When I am home, I am part of the great people. When I am with my wife, we are part of the great people together, and we have some of the promises that he has, but also some of the same needs that King Solomon has. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. See, God is interested in our motives when we ask. Sure. So when we ask in our New Year's resolutions, we're making an ask. When we make the ask, he wants to hear that motive, wants to know what's going on. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, which was the tradition at that time. You know, when you became king, you looked around and said, oh, you were loyal to my father, but it looks like you have designs on my job. Assassins, take them out, okay? But he didn't ask for this. He asked for discernment in administering justice. And then God goes on to say he'll do for him what he asked, and he'll give him more. He'll give him more. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, so that in your lifetime, no one will be equal to you. And then, unfortunately, verse 14, and if you walk in obedience to me, it will go well with you. Then he says, and if you don't, it's not going to go well. So it didn't go well with him at the end. So what's the first thought when you're asked, when God is there, and you ask first for your own wants and needs? How does your prayer life start? How does your ask to God start? And are you concerned with the needs of others? Maybe you begin praying for the needs of others. Or do you proceed and front in your requests by what I'm going to call positioning? Now, positioning is very simple. We understand positioning in life when you first met, say, the person that you're with, your spouse. Positioning usually wasn't, hey, you, me, you, go, together. Well, that's one way to position it, but how about, hi, my name is John. You know, do you come here often? You know, something, I don't know. He got to position it a little different. So we sometimes go before God, but we need to position. And it's how we present ourselves before God. Because in the presentation will be part of our motives. In that presentation will be part of what we think of ourselves and what we think of God and what we think God thinks about ourselves. So we're going to start over here with the first one. Now it depends. Some of us come from a religious background where we are the lowest of the low. We are lower than a snake's belly. You couldn't get any lower than us. We are worthless. There is nothing good in us. There will never be anything good in us. As a matter of fact, you are the worst of the earth. You are, oh God, I don't even know why you're listening to me. I'm so low. Not good. Not good positioning. But then again, we got the other one over here. God, I read in the book that I am to enter the throne boldly So I'm here boldly, and I'm going to ask you to confirm your word. As I give you the word, you give it right back to me, plus. Not so good positioning either. So somewhere, we position in the middle. We position in the middle. God, I know that I am not worthy, but the blood of your Son has made me worthy.
Amen.
God, I know I'm to come into the throne room boldly, but not arrogantly.
Right.
And I come in boldly again because of what your Son has done for me. So now I'm in the middle, and I say, God, because you have saved me and you have called me your own and the blood of Christ has cleansed me, now I can come and stand here with my request. Okay, so that's what you're part of positioning. And what he says, he goes on and he says, as a child of God, I am separated and sanctified to be among the unworthy because you have made me worthy. And now we're getting ready. So he begins his response. If you look at the scripture, first it says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And instead, Solomon breaks out into a little preamble, the positioning. Now, you or I might just blurt it right out what we want. But Solomon is getting a position here. And here's what he's going to do. He starts with, you have shown great kindness to my father. And he goes on. And that's the history part of the ask. You see, when we go before God, we have a past, a present, and a future. And sometimes, if we have not adequately dealt with the past, Solomon is dealing with the past. What he's saying is, you have been kind to my father. You are God. You make things happen. And you somehow have me end up being the king. Okay? Now, he's remembering the good stuff about his father. He's not remembering about, and by the way, dad was pretty wicked with that Bathsheba. No, he doesn't bring any of that up. He brings up the good stuff. See, in this past year, we have had some bad stuff happen to us. What's bad stuff? Prayers that were not answered. Things that came out of nowhere. Things of the unexpected. But we also had some good stuff. So now what we want to do with God is we don't want to begin our prayer life by accusing him of having abandoning us. That you abandoned me. You didn't answer my prayers. We don't do that. You don't start that way. We start that way with God. Thank you for all the gifts. Thank you for all that you have done with me. And this is part of this positioning that he's doing. Now, we don't allow the enemy to come in and say, oh no, not you. Are you praying again? You know it didn't work the last time. You know what happened when you prayed. You know that you didn't get healed. You know that this didn't happen. You know that the job fell through. We don't let the enemy come in and do that, because I must remember the times that God helped me, not when I believe God hurt me. Because I'm petitioning him. Why would I petition him if I think that he and I are enemies? We're not enemies. So I got to position this. I got to get this right. And then I can't dwell. Did anybody ever have in their life what we call a missed opportunity?
Sure.
Did anybody ever have I should have moments? Sure. So we don't bring these before God as part of our bundle or our package. And we just believe that God has ordered our steps. And we have done things that we should do. Now I got it. That's the past. Now I got to deal with the present. And in the present, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a Popeye. I am what I am. Something like that. Is that what he said? I am what I am. Something like that.
It was just a sandwich. Popeye's.
That was a spinach guy. Oh, Popeye. You only know it for food. That's right. I forgot. That's right. I am now, says Solomon, says John, says whatever your name is. I am now where I am now. No, I didn't move to where I should have, or I thought I should have. No, I didn't buy that I should have. No, I didn't do that I should have. No, I'm not with the one that I... No, what I got to do, Solomon, is I am where I am. My father has passed away. I got the kingdom. I got to do this job. God, you put me in place, so equip me, please. Equip me. I don't know what to do. Okay, so I am what I am. I am where I am. And I also am not somebody else.
Right.
I'm me. And me is not you. The story I like to tell, only because the guy flattered me a little bit when he told it, so that's why I'm going to be able to tell it. There was a fellow at the church we were from, and he was a wonderful craftsman. He was a tradesman. Woodworking, electrical, plumbing, painting, plastering, glass floors, do all this kind of stuff. So one day we're talking. I says, Tom, I got to tell you, I wish I had your skill set. I was a homeowner at the time, and I was tired of paying them. But anyway, I says, I wish that I could, you know, have some of these skills that you have. And he says, really? He says, I wish I had the ability you have. I can't stand up in front of people. I just can't stand up. I sweat. I get nervous. And I'm thinking, this Solomon, we need a little bit of I am who I am.
Right.
I'm not him. I'm not her. I'm not that person. I am who I am in my relationship with God. And I'm not somebody else. He gave me some gifts and talents. He gave you different gifts and talents. That's just the way it works in life. Now, I also have something unique that only I have. Now, don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. But it's something that only I have. My future. Hey, guess what? It's the same thing you have. My future? No. You have your future. And it's very unique to you. Very unique. And it's going to be formed, informed, shaped by certain things that you do and by certain decisions that you make. But it's yours. The future is going to be yours. My future is going to be mine. So this again is Solomon talking and saying, I'm going to be the king of these people. And man, I know these people. I know they enjoy having battles. I know they enjoy being in rebellion. I know they enjoy worshiping everything under the sun, including the sun. I need to know what I need here. And then what he says in verse 7, I am a person in need. I'm a little child. We were talking, if over the holidays you had any little children in your house, or if you have little children in your house now, my little 3-year-old grandson came to visit, and it's interesting what a little child does, isn't it? It's interesting what they get into. It's interesting that they don't know about a hot stove, or they don't know about a sharp knife. They don't know about hanging over the edge of the balcony. Unless we put them there. But anyway, you keep on behaving like that? You keep on behaving like that? Oh, Grandma, oh, Grandma. Oh, but I love you. But you behave like that, I hang you over there again. No, never do that. But anyway, so he is a person in need. We are a person in need. Many times, we don't know what to do. Or worse, we think we know what to do and we do the wrong thing.
That's right.
But he's coming now. And he's saying, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Now, God is going to ask, the way he's asking and the way he's got a position, he's looking for Solomon's motive. God looks on our heart. We sing about the heart inside of me. We have motives. The Apostle Paul, even at one point, said he doesn't even understand the motives that he has, why he does things. We all have a motive, what drives us, and so on. Now, his prayer request, Solomon's prayer request, is for the people that God has chosen for him to direct. Now, it could be, you could say, well, that was about him. No, it was about him with a higher good, when the higher good was those people. And many of the prayers that we pray are for me. Many of the requests that we make are for me. And what he's saying here is, God is, I'm pleased with that. You're not just praying about yourself. You're asking for things to happen in your life for the benefit of others.
Right.
Wow. See, Jesus said, I need to be about my Father's business. So we could say, I live my life because I'm about my Father's business. Does our prayer life reflect that? Does our actions reflect that? So we need to be about our Father's business. And then he says, for who is able to govern this great people? Not heresy. Everybody on this earth, every human on this earth, is part of the great people of God. They are part of the people that God has created. Some of us are saved because we know that, and some of the other people who are not need to be brought in.
Sure.
All right? So we are all God. So everything we do, it's to affect believers and non-believers, because maybe those non-believers will become believers by what we do, that we may see his glory, we may see what's going on. So I need to govern myself. Solomon's talking about governing a people. I need to govern myself. You and your house need to govern yourself, your emotions, your the way you treat people and talk to people, the way the child acts in school. They need to, we need to govern ourselves, wives, children, whatever. Now, true wisdom is not just easily obtained. Now, he got it in a dream. He got the promise of true wisdom. He had true wisdom for a time, and then he lost it. So in verse 9, he's going to get ready for the ask. He's going to ask. This is his request. This is like a New Year's resolution. This is an ask. A particular heart. He wants to have a particular heart. And that word heart can be translated, there's many ways, a listening heart, a hearing heart, a loyal heart, an obedient heart, a discerning heart, an understanding heart, a wise heart. There's all translations because it's one giant concept. Did you ever meet somebody who thinks they're wise and they maybe are in their own particular area? They're very wise. They're a wise doctor, but he couldn't change his own oil in his car. Because he's not wise in that. There's a woman who's very wise in raising children, but she's having trouble with her husband. There's a very wise person who is full of head knowledge, but they're really not wise because the choices that they're making. There are very wise people who end up getting addicted to drugs and getting their life all messed up. They're very smart in our understanding, but they're not wise because they made a bad decision, a bad choice. So he's going to ask. First definition is all kinds. I want a discerning heart. What that means is I want an inner ability to know what's going on in a given situation. I want to know, see, it's I don't want to call it intuition, but it's close. It's when mama knows when the kids are in their room and they were loud and boisterous and all of a sudden they went completely quiet. Mama goes, something's going on. All right, something's going on that's not good. And they shouldn't be that quiet. It's an intuition. It's an instinct. It's a discernment. It's the ability to walk in on the job and there's a little argument going on over there and you got to, I got to discern what's going on here. What's happening here? Are they going to start throwing fists? Are they going to start throwing furniture? Should I just back out and go back in my car? Or, you know, what's happening here? That's the first, what's happening here? What is happening in my life today? When I get up in the morning, I want to know what's happening. What is going on? Is it a good day, a bad day? What do I think? Am I still upset over last night with the argument? Am I still exhausted because of that three-year-old? What is it that's going on? I want to get this this discernment. I want to know. I use the example of an EMT or a medical person. They're going down the highway to see an accident. The accident, the car goes this way, there's another car, they want to help, they jump out. They're going to need discernment. What do I got? Looks like somebody's wandering around in a daze on the highway. Oh, do I run over him? Wait, it looks like there's smoke coming out of that car over there. Do I got to go over and get that door, get that person? Wait, there's somebody laying there, and it looks like they're bleeding. What do I do? What do I do first? I need the discernment. I need that quick. I need to know what is it most important to do. I have to figure this thing out. On a longer scale, gee, I met this nice person, and they've been talking to me, and now they want to do this. And then they were asking me, I don't know why they need my Social Security number and my bank account name. I don't know why they would need that. So you discern that there's something, it's just right there. It's just that we could call it the gut feeling. Some people call it a gut feeling. It could be something. Maybe it's even, some might call it emotion, but we're not sure because that's not quite what it is. But it's a sense that after I can discern what's going on, now I need some understanding. I'm going to have to choose some of the things that I am now discerning. I have to choose an option. The mother has to choose, do I get up and go into that room or do I send the father? Who's got the bigger spanking ability? No, who do they fear more? Now, do I do that? I got to discern, okay? So I got to get understanding. I'm starting now. I got to make a judgment. The EMT, I got to make a judgment. I got to make a judgment. I can only be in one place at the time. I got to make a judgment. So I got to make a judgment. I got to have an understanding heart. God, when you give me this kingdom, I need to have an understanding heart. I got to know the right choices to make. We got to know. Now, if I choose A, what happens? If I choose, God, you got to give me some understanding. You got to lay it out to me. What are my choices? As a matter of fact, part of wisdom is God will give us a choice that we didn't know was a choice. In other words, we're thinking we only got A, B, and C, and God says a little later on, try D. Hey, I never thought of that. Yeah, I never thought of that. So I need to do that. Some call it logic. But it's, then he wants to know, Solomon wants to know, he wants to know the difference between right and wrong. Now, in the society in which we live, we are having a little trouble with knowing the difference between right and wrong. Yeah. We're having a little difference. It is not as clear as it used to be when I was growing up, or so it would seem. And what happens, the Bible talks about, do not let your conscience be seared like a nice piece of meat you put on a hot fire to sear it, the outside, so the juices don't run out. But we can do that with our conscience. We can just sear our conscience because, well, there is no right and wrong. There is no right and wrong. It's whatever pleases you. It doesn't make any difference. It whatever makes you feel good. What's right for you is right for you. Don't tell me what's wrong. And what happens is we start to get our conscience seared about right and wrong. What is God's view? So we're watching the news and there's an earthquake, there's a hurricane, people are getting killed, there's beheadings and stuff. Oh, another tragedy. Well, what of that going around this time of the year, huh? What, do you have any feeling? Do you have any? No, I'm kind of numb. You know, kind of numb about stuff. And matter of fact, we live in an age where you can do whatever you want to do. Well, this Solomon, like us, wants to know the difference between right and wrong. God, I need you to stir up stuff inside of me because I've lived in a society and a culture where it just doesn't make any sense. So he wants to discern. And finally, he's going to get to a conclusion. The EMT guy, the mom, the dad, the student who goes to a school and starts to, that group over there, I'm not so sure I should be with them. I think this group's a little better than that group. I'm gonna start to, I got the discernment, I got the understanding. Now I'm ready to get wisdom because that's a roll-up of all of those. And it's the conclusion, it's arriving at a place to know what to do. Now I arrive at a place to know what to do. Oh, I wish that was the end of the story. I wish that was the end of the story. But wisdom has one little piece attached to it. Now I got to do it. So it's knowing what to do and then doing it. Because sometimes the choices that we have to make are not easy. They're not easy. No, it's not easy. I know I should break up that relationship. So, not to pick on this dear woman. She's not here, from another church. And I won't use her name, because I'd be sued. But anyway, we're sitting around in the church office where I... Hey! What? Are you kidding me? And it was... Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know what it is. Because you're picking losers. You like to pick losers. There's something about you and losers that go together. Stop that. You need to get yourself in a track where you get wisdom, that you understand from the beginning of the relationship where it has the possibility of heading to do. So you could counsel people like that all day long and give them wisdom, but the second half dynamite stick to wisdom is, and you have to do it. Right. And you have to do it. So this is a place where my prayer will not be prayed amiss, because I don't want to pray amiss. I want to pray a prayer that instead of me saying, God, here's my Christmas list, there it is, here's my what I want to happen in the new year, here it is, bless it, please, do a nice job, thank you. Okay, that's one way to pray, I guess, but the understanding is, God, I don't want to make a resolution that's going to fall through. I don't want to make another one of those resolutions that I can't keep, and I probably don't even have any intention to keep. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pray every day what... Now, I know the Bible says you make your requests known to God, and so on, I understand that. But what we're talking about here is that thin context where I want to have the mind of Christ. Right. I want to know that what I pray for is in the channel of direct flow to Jesus Christ, the mediator between man and God, and he turns to his Father and says, I hear the prayer of your son, your daughter, and God, my Father, we're going to send blessing to that. That's what I want to hear. That's the prayer I want to have. I don't want to be praying amiss. So I need to know that this wisdom that I don't want to get confused. I don't want to confuse it with knowledge. I don't want to confuse it with 7 degrees from colleges and universities. I don't want to confuse it with man's wisdom. I don't want man's wisdom. I want God's wisdom. God's wisdom is going to trump man's wisdom. It's not corrupted by greed or by lust. It follows the example of Jesus reflected in my life. Those songs that we sing, let me bring honor and glory to you, God, by how I act and how I behave. So the Lord is pleased. And then, here's a little extra. He gives us pointers on prayer priorities. And this is verses 10 and 11. Because you didn't ask for long life. We can ask for long life. But God was pleased that he didn't ask for long life, because long life would have been for him, not for his people. And he asked in the context for your people. He didn't ask for himself. So he brought the concern of others before God, before he brought his own concern. You didn't ask for wealth. You didn't ask for wealth. What good is wealth if you're in a kingdom that is always at war, and you know that you they talked about Saddam Hussein and these guys. They never slept in the same place twice. They had to keep on moving there. But he had millions of dollars in gold. He had this and that and the other. He didn't know who was going to kill him, who was going to assassinate him, didn't know who his friends are. That's wealth? What good is that? There's a guy... what's his name? El Chapo? El Chipo? What is the guy's name? What is his name? Who? The chaplain. All right, so what are you... They talk about the money that he has. It's $68 billion. Somebody counted it up. I don't know how they would count up all of this kind of stuff. Anyway, but the jail he's in, he gets 23 hours in a cell with nobody else. He has a slit window up here that you can't reach. All you can tell is whether it's night or day. He gets out, I think it's one or two showers a week. You can't fraternize with the other people. Your meal is slipped under the door. You don't see a human hand. You see a stick pushing a meal under the door. And that's what you get, $68 billion in bank, and that's how you live. Somehow it doesn't make sense. So I don't want to pray for wealth. I want to pray to please God. And if it pleases God to give me wealth, then it's going to be good wealth. It's going to be a healthy wealth, okay? So then Solomon didn't pray for death of his enemies. Now in that day, that's how you ran an election. That's how you got elected in. Now we do it other ways, but anyway, that society and culture changes. What can I tell you? So I don't want to, when I'm praying and I'm talking to God, I got to be careful because it's my motive. And God, that co-worker, could you remove them somehow? Could you? Look, I'm going to pray for them. There's a promotion coming up, Lord. There's a promotion. Give it to them and get them out of my building. All right? He didn't ask for this. He didn't ask for this kind of stuff, the death of my enemy. He didn't want to be freed from that. One of the reasons that we want a death of an enemy is we're harboring some unforgiveness in our heart. And we're coming before God to ask him, God, forgive me for my sins, bless my request, and yet we may have ought against a brother. So it's not only communion time that he says examine yourself. We should examine ourselves before we come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, and then he'll give us more than we ask or think. Because of his positioning and motives, the Lord gave him what he asked for and what he did not ask for. He gave him wealth and honor. Now, he got man's honor, but first he got God's honor. And God could turn and say, look at my servant. He is what, she is what a true believer should behave like. So, what would life be like if you prayed this following prayer? Do we have that up? Can we get that prayer up? There it is. Lord, now, we're doing 21 days in 2020. How about we start each one of those 21 days, you wake up, you become conscious of life, the three-year-old's tugging on you. No, you become conscious of life. You take 30 seconds to utter this prayer and start your day with this, okay? Lord, I ask you today for discernment, that I may be aware of what is going on in me and around me. Am I stirred up from last night? Did I have an argument with my wife? Am I too tired? Am I anxious? Am I concerned? All right, I need to discern what's going on. Then I need to be concerned what's going on around my life, what I got to do on the job today, what I got to do in the house, what I got to do in school. I ask for understanding, that I understand the consequences of my actions. Man, if we operate out of emotion, we don't care about consequences. Right? Because emotions is a powerful driver, and it will drive us to do things where we're not concerned with the consequences. So I want to be concerned. I want understanding of what if I do A, what if I do B, what if I do nothing? I need that today. I need that today. I just need it today. I want to live a day at a time. I want that today. I ask for a clear conscience so that I may know right from wrong. I want to know right from wrong. I want to know what is going on in the world, and I want a clear conscience, right from wrong. You know, having a clear conscience and knowing right from wrong is one of the key aspects of living in a world that's multicultural. Living in a world that's multicultural, I need to have a clear conscience of right from wrong. Because if I'm always right, it must mean that you're always wrong. If we can't see eye to eye on some issues, maybe my conscience has been seared. And I ask for wisdom so that I know how to order my life today. Today. I want to know how to live my life today. I want to take my cares, concerns, and worries and put them over here. I want to take my blessings over here. My heart wants to be full with the joy of the Lord. I want to get the gifts of the Spirit. I want to get the fruit of the Spirit. I want to get it all lined up. And as a believer, it should all be there. It should all be there. And this prayer should be a simple prayer. I practiced it this week, and I... to see if it actually works. And I did stumble a couple of times. And I asked the Lord after that, remind me when I'm not living the words I speak. Ooh! And he did. And he does. Because we offer it to him. And then he'll say, hey, you're supposed to... Well, if he came from Brooklyn, he would have said, hey, What are you doing? You said you were going to do this, and you didn't do this. Why are you doing? Look at how you're acting. You're all emotional. Yeah, I'm all emotional. I'm tired, and that 3-year-old's driving me nuts. Yeah, but you gotta restrain yourself. You gotta exercise judgment, and you gotta have understanding. Okay, all right. So that's how this ends. Would you stand, please? How many would pray that prayer during the 21 days? If you just wave your hand at me, would you pray that prayer? And would you let us know how it's going? Because the Lord wants, it's called the wisdom of Solomon. We want the wisdom of God in our life. We want that true wisdom. We're just not a collection of knowledge, not a collection of feelings, but the true wisdom where we know we have sat down face to face with the living God and had a conversation where he has blessed us. And the inscription on Solomon's, this piece was, and God was pleased with him. Yes. We need God to say, I am pleased with my servant. Amen. 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 Go in peace. Go in peace. Amen. You are dismissed. Yeah, walking. Amen. Amen.